Woohoo! All right, y'all.
We're a little behind.
That's cool.
Welcome. It sounded perfect on my end. Welcome to another episode.
Oh, good.
Real good. Welcome to another episode of Real Good with Sarah Luke. And today I'm with my bestest friend, Sasha Galan. Hey, Sasha.
Woo! Hey, what's up?
Woo! I'm like so hungover, bro. I'm like the party. All
right. Oh, yeah. I just went on a binger. And I just woke up. I don't even know what a fucking binge is.
Hardcore. well, guys, today we are discussing King of the Hill. And I'm super excited. I've been talking to Sasha about this episode for months. And I knew I wanted to put in like a show or start put in something that was just like very light. Cause like things were like really heavy and like summer, like stress happened. And I was like, I just want to talk about something easy and light. So You were obviously a natural podcast.
Ooh, I'm a podcast.
Podcasting, man.
Coast to coast.
You were like always going to be on the podcast at some point. So I figured this was a really nice, easy way to start working you in. And yeah, so King of the Hill.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Texas anime.
Oh, yes. somebody asked me, they were like, I have a question. They were like, do Texans love King of the Hill like the way other people do? Or is it like really actually accurate? And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, accurate as fuck. Like,
yeah.
I watch that shit now and I didn't realize how accurate it was as a child.
Yeah.
But now, even like as a child, I was like, these adults are so outlandish. Like, this is so silly. And then now I watch it and I'm like, bro, that's us. Like, that's for real.
It's like a super natural, accurate depiction of Texans in Texas and very respectful. Obviously, well, you know, because the creator is from Texas, but it's very respectful and accurate depiction of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So
I sound like Peggy Hill.
You sure do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so Sasha is Sasha and her sister Tina are what I can't my first friends. So Sasha is like my first friend. I feel like best friend is kind of like not really do it justice.
Yeah. I think we've definitely surpassed that best friend point.
We are soul sisters.
I would absolutely say we're soul sisters, only because we've gone through that whole soul sister process, the initiation.
Sasha is like the person who helped, like my sense of humor and weirdness is directly developed with Sasha. Like Sasha made me the person I am as far as like comedy. I feel like we known each other since I was 5 and Sasha was 6. So like we developed our sense of humor alongside each other and we consumed like the same content, the same. Yeah. So King of the Hill and King of the Hill and the Simpsons are like the shit, like two of the very many shows that we like really, really love. But love so much that it's worked into our like daily talk and like we quote it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get into that as well. But I just want to give a quick little like background on the show itself because I feel like, I mean, like obviously the show's super funny and all that, but it's like owed the respect of us knowing a little about its history as well. Okay, so early 1995, Mike Judge, he was, you know, riding on the success of Beavis and Butthead, that was on MTV. And so he decided to create another animated series, which brought us King of the Hill, and it is based on the small Texas town that he grew up in. And like, it was based on a mixture of like Dallas suburbs, in which some included Garland and Richardson. And I don't know the name. Arlen is a fake city, but it's like clearly a mix of, and like being Texan, you can recognize like Arlington in there. And so knowing that it's a mix of Dallas suburbs makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and there's a lot, so much Dallas reference too in the show, so makes sense.
Yeah, they're definitely a little more Dallas area than Houston area, I would say, but Bobby could rock with us in Houston.
You know, and Cotton lives in Houston.
Yeah,
I think that kind of shows you what kind of people they think is from Houston, because like, yeah. I mean, Cotton's pretty fucking wild.
So when in 95, whenever he was making this show, so Fox was kind of like, we're not entirely sure, so we're going to team him up with somebody else who has a little more experience. So they teamed him up with Greg Daniels, who was working on The Simpsons. And Greg Daniels also went on to create the U.S. version of The Office. So they got Greg Daniels in there to help him rewrite the pilot and come up with some characters. So Greg Daniels added in Luann and Cotton, and he helped develop the characters, and he helped so much that instead of being, normally he would have been called a consultant, Mike Judge gave him the co-writer credit. So like so he helped make that world so real that he credited him as co-writer. So those two together are who we owe King of the Hill to, Greg Daniels and Mike Judge. And I mean, they've gone on to.
Thanks, Greg and Mike. I was just thanking Greg and Mike. That's all.
Yeah, for real. Because between them, I mean, The Simpsons.
I mean, shit, The Simpsons, The Office, King of the Hill. That's what I fucking live off of.
Beavis and Butthead was also a big part of our childhood.
It was.
Yeah, your mom was like, let's watch that show. My mom
was like, Stimpy.
Oh, fuck yeah. So King of the Hill was an animated comedy series that aired from January 1997 to May 2010 on Fox. And as we said, Mike Judge and Greg Daniels created it. And Mike Judge also plays Hank Hill. He also plays Boomhauer. So Mike Judge created it and he voiced, you know, the lead character. So the show ran for 13 seasons and it aired 259 episodes. In 2007, Time Magazine named it one of the top 100 greatest television shows of all time. And it's won 2 Emmy Awards, and I'll tell you what one of them is in a little bit. And it was nominated for 7. So it's legit. You know, 13 seasons for an animated show, especially back then when we didn't have like the added things of like streaming and all that, like it was just like incredible.
Yeah, and like you're literally waiting each week to see the new episodes and shit.
Yeah, they were a real family. These are real people. Okay.
Yeah. So
the show centers on the Hills, an American family in the fictional city of Arlen, Texas. Patriarch and main character Hank Hill, who works as an assistant manager at Strickland Propane, is the everyman and general protagonist of the series. Hank is friends with other residents on his block, especially Bill Dotrieve, Dale Gribble, and Jeff Boomhauer, all of whom he has known since elementary school. The show attempts to maintain a realistic approach, seeking humor in the conventional and mundane aspects of everyday life. That's cool. I think it's important that they... That part is important because the show is really based on, just humor in everyday life. Like it's like,
yeah,
like a real show that just happens to be animated. It's like a,
yeah, like it's not so outlandish where like, you know, you might think animated shows and you think like child shit where everything's just like, it's all this crazy stuff happening around the characters, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is just like normal stuff, like Bobby's going to middle school.
Yeah.
Peggy's a substitute teacher. Yeah. Hank sells fucking propane. Like that,
how mundane can you get?
Yeah. Like, and whenever you say it like that, it's like, what the fuck? What is this show got to offer? But it's amazing. It's so great. Yeah.
That also just shows the power of Texas and like just the personalities of Texas and the people and the culture is like so strong and funny on its own without mm-hmm. even getting crazy. They get a little crazy with their plot at sometimes, but in general, it doesn't really use like crazy plot points. It's yeah. just people. Okay, I wanted to run down the voice talent of King of the Hill because yeah, these people deserve it. So Hank was voiced by Mike Judge, the guy who created it. And Peggy is voiced by Kathy Nahimi. And if you don't know who that is, which you should know who that is because she's an amazing actress, she plays Mary in Hocus Pocus. Bobby is voiced by Pamela Adlin. And Luann is voiced by the late, great Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. Wow. And as us true fans know, Brittany Murphy also voiced young Joseph. Like Joseph pre-puberty was also voiced by Brittany Murphy. Dale is voiced by Johnny Hardwick. Bill is voiced by Stephen Root. Y'all know who he is. If you look him up, he's been in a ton of shit. He had a part in True Blood too. And Boomhauer was also voiced by Mike Judge.
Wasn't Stephen Root Bill Compton also?
We might have to fact check that one, but I think he might have,
because that's why they named him Bill after Bill Compton.
Okay, so we're getting a little loose with our facts here. Don't quote me on that. That is Sasha's quote.
So yes, but then Bill is named after Bill, who's played by Steven.
Yeah, sure. So again, like as I was saying, King of the Hill was a huge part of our lives growing up and like a huge part of our friendship. We used to always be like, which character is who? And we gave like all our family members characters who. So at how old are you? Like
34.
Sorry, I gave you another year. At 34, who do you think you are? What character you are?
After watching it, I think I'm watching it as an adult, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a very good mixture of both Hank and Peggy. Like,
man.
I can really see myself as both.
That makes like, a lot. I don't know what I would have said though, but
because like I'm not as Hank, uptight Hank, as yes. Hank. I'm not as uptight as Hank. Because I feel like there's sometimes I'm like, man, Hank, come on. But like, there's a lot of attributes about Hank where I'm like,
yeah,
man, that's definitely like,
that's funny. You like, are.
But then there's like some shit that Peggy does. And I'm like, fuck, that is definitely me. But like, Peggy's like obsession with herself. I'm really not that. Like I'm not as obsessed with myself as Peggy is obsessed with herself.
Yes.
And so I don't have that factor, but like I feel like there's some like really funny moments, like whenever they meet the propaniacs, it's just like, wait, the propane maniacs. Bobby's like, wait, the propaniacs. And then she gets all mad in the background. And like, if you only watch that episode once, you might not even catch that. But like, you could see her face just change. Like, she gets instantaneously pissed off at Bobby for suggesting a much better name than her. And when they're like, on three, propaniacs, she still goes, propane maniacs. Like, she is just so set on
I would definitely give you little Bill and Dale hybrid action, but Hank makes a lot of sense because you do have things that you're very like not fuddy-duddy about, but kind of like randomly conservative about. I've always just kind of I definitely see a lot of Dale. That's just I never would say Peggy. I think you know I'm a strong Peggy at 34. 33. I think I confidently say I'm like pretty much a Peggy, but I'm a Bobby, I think, with like open-minded and open spirit.
Yes.
I definitely am a Bobby. Bobby, yeah, I think Bobby Peggy. We know Eleanor Tinsley is Peggy Hill to the max. Oh my God,
yes. Actually, I think both of our moms are Peggy. Yeah. Like, both of our moms definitely.
Oh, your mom's your mom was a little Boomhauer, though.
Yes, yes. I was going to say the same thing. I was just saying she's a little bit Boomhauer, too, where you just, wait, what?
So as you see, this is like a game we've been playing our whole lives where we like check in and say who we are. But
yeah, and Tina is definitely fucking Bobby and Luann.
Yes,
like some of the shit she says, I'm like, really, bro? Like,
I made little notes. And one of the notes I made was propaniac for you. Wasn't that your email address?
That's still my email address. Yes, yeah, Sasha's email. Like 20 years. That's still my fucking email address.
Yo, see, like for Texans, like this King of the Hill shit goes real deep.
So if anybody wants to email me, propaniac for you at Yahoo.
Some weird mail. Okay, and like quotes we still use today, because like definitely worked into our regular vocab. Most notably, like, somebody open a window because this flower built it. And then, like, this random Luann impression.
Peggy.
And then, oh, God. Definitely, like, Peggy stuff. Like, in my opinion.
Oh, God, yes. I every now and then I call spaghetti but Peggy.
Yes. So. always think about, damn it, Bobby.
Oh God, or that boy ain't right.
Oh yeah. That
boy. And even like whenever Hank gets all like he's like flustered or like shocked and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'll do that shit too. And it really makes things awkward when people don't know what I'm talking about. Yes. Like if I do that noise and people are like, what the hell is wrong with her? But
I've been lucky enough in life, like up here in New York, to find people who also love this show. Like Justin and me watch it a lot. Some of my like really close friends up here love the show. Okay, so I was thinking about like, okay, how should we do this episode? And the way I decided was I'm gonna give you, there's 10 episodes I picked out, and I'm just gonna say the title and I'm gonna see if you know like what the episode is from the title. And then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like really bad at names too. So
No, some of these are obvious and there's a couple you might not, but for the most part, like I think that you probably will do all right.
All right.
Okay, so the first episode is Returning Japanese.
Oh, where Hank goes or the whole family goes back to Japan.
Yes.
And they find out Hank has like a Japanese Hank brother.
Yes. So Returning Japanese is a two-parter. It's and they were in season 6, episodes 21 and 22. And that was in 2002. I was in eighth and ninth grade. So we both love this episode.
Mm-hmm. I love the whole story behind Bobby and that little Japanese girl. And she's just like, Dasu!
I rewatched again the other day, and that storyline was so touching and sweet. And like, part of that fucking episode really cracks me up is when they fucking think that their room is only the couch and the
desk. And they, at the end of it, that part pissed me off. They're like, you surely didn't stay in the sitting room the whole time. And they like open it and they've got this gigantic fucking suite. And there's all this rotten fruit. It's like, welcome, Hills.
Yo, Peggy. Peggy's like, Hank and I will take the bed. And Bobby, you can sleep at the she says, and Bobby, you can sleep at your desk like you do at school. And Bobby just looks at her like, oh my God. But like, in this episode, Cotton, well, he tells the family he's like going back to do an apology tour thing. And he has this picture of this widow in his wallet because he killed her husband or whatever. But also happening is like Peggy gets a job at the newspaper and she's trying to get them to foot a trip on her bill. It's like she's trying to get them to foot a trip on their bill for her. So she's coming up with these stories. And like the lady at the newspaper is just like, bitch, like, do you think like no one's tried this? And Bobby's the one who gets her to like do this story. So they go back and
the widow in the wallet.
Yeah, widow in the wallet. What,
I love how he proposes the idea to her first, and she's like, wow, that's a terrible idea.
Like, yeah, there is really no story in this. And he tells her the whole epic like, story. And she's like, yeah, wow, this is really... Because Peggy, it's like, if it didn't come from her head, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like, they find out, you know, Hank has a brother, and Hank like makes this connection with him, and Bobby makes the dance connection. But Luann is back home babysitting Lady Bird. She thinks she kills her.
And she's just old. And she's like, oh my God.
It's like a sweet episode. Like, Cotton, you know, makes peace with the woman. And also, like, we have these moments in King of the Hill where Cotton is pretty trash and stays trash the whole show. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. But we get these peaks. And this is one of those shows where he kind of is dealing with like what he's done a little bit, as far as like all these people he killed in war. The 50, he loves to brag about the 50 men he's killed. And it's always interesting what they do with Cotton. He's just an interesting character. So yeah, that was like my first episode. Okay, next episode, Bobby goes nuts.
Oh my God. That's where he goes around and kicks people in the crotch the whole episode.
And this is the episode that Pamela Adlon won the Emmy for.
That is also one of the more quotable lines. That's my purse. Yeah. I don't know you.
That's another thing we say all the time. So Bobby Goes Nuts was in season 6 and it's episode 1. And that was 2001. So we were seventh grade, you were eighth grade.
And this, I was eighth grade, wow.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the most popular episodes of the entire series. This is like an episode I feel like people who are not even like really that into the show know about. It's iconic.
There is like towards the end, there was, what I like about the episode is you kind of see this whole interaction between Hank and Peggy and Bobby at the end where Bobby's being a little shit. Yes. And he's like, yeah, I'll give you the Game Boy whenever I'm done with it. And Hank's like really trying to discipline him. And he's like, oh, come on. And then Peggy's like, you know what? Fuck this. And then she decides to like fight Bobby over the Game Boy. And the fact that it shows that, I feel like that kind of like support and love, you don't really see a lot of that in not in animated series like really ever, and then not in a lot of shows ever, because it's always like mother and child, no matter what. But then in this like rare scenario, you have like the mom who is really supportive and identifies that, you know, Hank needs help in this moment, and she's the one to do it. And even though Bobby's her son, she's like, I'm not gonna let anybody disrespect the man I love, let alone my own son.
Definitely. That's a good way to put it. And this show, it touches on the relation. It's really good with relationships with Peggy and Bobby's, Peggy and Hank's, Hank's and Bobby's. It's something that's constantly touched on, like the role of fatherhood and son, and like, and those scenes with the three of them are really, I'll get to some of those too later. Those are some really great like scenes and episodes. And the thing about this show that does set it apart is the love. Like, there's like the reason I can't really fuck with Family Guy is because it's just a mean show. You know what I mean?
It
like
is.
I'm like empath and stuff. And at the end, like, it's like, okay, that's funny and stuff, but it's a mean show. And I'm all about like those relationships and love. And King of the Hill is all about that.
And I feel like that's also like Well, I don't know. I can't really attest to that just because I've been down here for so long. Like, it's not like I lived anywhere else. But I feel like that's even like a real Southern thing to have that kind of love. Like,
for
instance, Cotton and Hank.
Yeah.
Like, Cotton openly dislikes Hank.
Yeah.
And Hank still just really always wants his acceptance and love and stuff like that. And they're not, even though Hank is definitely not like a super emotional person and he doesn't express it.
Yeah.
You can tell that he still strives for that.
Definitely.
And that's so much like I feel like that's a real Southern thing.
Yeah. And the things that they do let him get real emotional about are his dog and his truck.
Like, yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yep.
Total Texan. Bobby Goes Nuts is like a very simple episode. Like, Bobby starts getting bullied and he goes to self-defense class and what he learns in the women's self-defense class is to kick people in the nuts. And he goes around doing that the whole time. And it's just a fucking hilarious episode. Okay. And third episode, Pygmalion.
Oh my God. Is that the one where Luann and that dude from the, like, a pig farm or something get together? Oh my God. That episode's scary.
Yes. So
no
this
shit. That's scary.
Is Pygmalion season 7, episode 9. It came out in 2003. And yeah, this episode is honestly almost like a standalone short film. It's so bizarre. And I still remember the first time I saw this episode just being like shook. I was like, what the fuck was this? Super dark. I don't even really want to like spoil it too much, y'all, but I'll tell you a little. Like, Luann, Peggy like gets Luann fired, or she gets her to quit some job. And so Luann needs a job and she's feeling real like stupid kind of, and she's at a place where she's just feeling like useless and stupid. And she meets this guy who owns this pork factory and ends up becoming his girlfriend. And then the guy is like weird and obsessive and starts making her into like the mascot of the pork brand. But it's really dark, and it was originally supposed to be like a Halloween episode. So it's very weird. Do you know who voices, just take a guess at who voices the guy who plays the man? Let me try to find a quick audio.
Christopher Walken.
No, but you know what? They were in a movie together.
No shit, really?
Yeah. Who? Do you want me to play you a clip?
Yeah, play me.
Okay. So, this episode is just very dark and artistic. It's weird.
It's very weird. I won't give too much away, but I felt the same way after watching. I was like, what the hell did I just watch? Was I supposed to see that? Like, yeah. as a kid, you just like see something like that and you're like,
exactly.
That was very adult.
It has remained one of my favorite episodes for that reason. It's just like, this doesn't quite belong here.
Yeah.
All right. This is him talking. So just listen to his voice.
Sheep or cattle into food and food products. What?
You have like a random guess who that might be. I give you a clue. He was in a movie with Christopher Walken.
John Travolta. No, I'm joking.
It's Michael Keaton. One of my favorites.
Michael Keaton?
Yes. Michael Keaton plays that Trip character in Pygmalion.
Oh my God.
I have a big, big Michael Keaton thing. So finding this out, I was like, it's weird. It works. It works though.
Michael Keaton, you and these weird fucking like crushes and shit. Like,
love me some Keaton. Okay, y'all. First of all, Sasha, was it you who was like, "Ooh, Bruce Willis"? Was that you?
Probably. That sounds about right.
Yeah, when it was like, "Yeah, Bruce Willis is like a certified sex symbol. Like, that's a big thing," and you're like, "Ooh, him."
Whatever. Yeah.
You're a hater.
And him, Adrian Brody, like every dude.
Ever. Well, it helps.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. First of all, it helps that Adrian Brody is like an amazing actor. It helps that if they're like you're a super talented actor, and then whatever, I don't have to explain myself. Okay. So yeah, it's Pygmalion. is kind of about like Luann getting into this weird ass fucking relationship, and that's all we'll say on it because you guys gotta see it. But it's spooky as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Artsy. Okay, so season I was about to give you the fucking answer to the next one. Okay, so episode 4, it's pretty, gives it away. Meet the Manger Babies.
Oh my God. Where Luann creates the Manger Babies.
Manger Babies.
I like that she does like a little like kind of shimmy.
Yeah.
No.
The Luann episodes, I enjoy Luann episodes because it's really always about her finding herself and mm-hmm. like trying to, you know, she's written off as like stupid and young and like naive, and she's really a lot more than that. So when I like when she has her episode, she's just a little different. So her episodes are always kind of about proving to herself who she is and stuff. And yeah, so Meet the Manger Babies, they're at a yard sale and she finds a box of puppets and, you know, she's like encouraged by Hank to, and she starts this little puppet show and she ends up having her puppet show gets picked up by like the local television station and she has a show that's comes on, the same time as the Super Bowl. And Hank was a big part of it and he like plays God in her show. And then, you know, whenever she says that the show is coming on TV on Super Bowl, that's a dilemma. Cause what mm-hmm. Texas man was going to miss Super Bowl Sunday?
Literally none.
I love the episodes where they explore the relationship between Hank and Luann.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's like, especially whenever she first kind of makes her appearance on the show.
Yeah.
He's just like, No, you're going to be a very brief part of my life and
yeah.
you're going to be out of it, you know, and to see him like develop a real relationship with her and yeah. like the episode where Hank, he gets like attacked by the dolphin.
Yes.
And Luann's working at the La Grunta golf range.
Yes.
And you know, she starts dressing all like very covered up and trying to make herself look as frumpy as possible so that the guys don't sit there and catcall her and
yeah,
basically just make her feel completely uncomfortable. And whenever Hank gets put in her shoes, but with a dolphin, he like goes and sticks up for her and throws that dude in the tank. And
yeah,
I just felt like it was great because then that also like Luann, before that moment, Luann thought she was the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, well, it's because I'm dressing this way. It's because I'm acting this way, you know, and they're not the problem.
Yeah.
And then Hank, you know, that happens to Hank and then Hank steps up and kind of, he defends her and everybody else. And, you know, says all what he says and she's like, yeah, I'm gonna dress however I want. And, I mean, in the end, the guys are all like, yeah. She takes off that big shirt and she's like, woo.
We see Hank show up for Luann over and over and over. And he is Luann's like biggest critic. The episodes mm-hmm. always start with him like, Luann, this is dumb or like something. And then he always like saves the day and like she is his daughter figure. And the thing about Hank is like he is a good stand-up guy at the end of the day and he always comes through for his friends and family, and that's what keeps the show good because he's so annoying, he's so like conservative, he's so uptight, so there are all these things that are like, oh Hank, but then like he always it always pushes through that he does the right thing and that he like he always ends up opening his mind up. And that's the cool thing about Hank that keeps like the show, that makes it work too. But he comes through again in this one. He just gets really into playing God in this.
I like how dramatic that whole puppet show was like during the Super Bowl. She's like, I guess we're all just going to go die off the cliff now.
Yeah, she was like, we're gonna die. God doesn't come save us. And then he comes and catches the baby in. But yeah, it's Manger Babies is a fucking hilarious random little episode. And it has a great song in it. But it's just,
it does.
It's another example. It's just a good example of, it's a good Hank and Luann episode. And they use that theme a lot. And yeah, it's like they use things over and over, but they work. You know, like, oh, Bobby's trying to figure his thing out and Hank doesn't approve of what he's doing. So he, but he, in the end, he finds out that Bobby's, you know, special and he gives him his approval. So like these things that they mm-hmm. use over and over, but they find a way to keep them creative, but also keep them genuine where we care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I said, so that was Meet the Manger Babies was season 2, episode 12, and came out in 1998.
Fourth. Oh my gosh.
So we were in elementary school. You were in 98, ooh. I was in fourth and fifth grade. So you would have been in fifth and sixth grade.
That's crazy.
Right? Insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Next episode, To Kill a Ladybird.
Oh my God. Is that the one with Bandit?
Yes, it is. It is the one with Bandit. As much as I thought, like, I've moved past this episode, it made me tear up again at the end. And I was like, shit, this episode always hits me.
It's so moving. And yes. But there's some like really fucking funny parts. Like whenever Bobby is first like meeting the raccoon.
Yes.
And he's like, you look like you've got on a little mask. And he's like, I know, I'll call you. Masking. I was just like, no, I could do better than that. I'm like, masking.
Hilarious. In this episode, Bobby is kind of fucking sick of how obsessed Hank is with his dog. He's like, there's like a little jealousy thing going on with Hank and Ladybird, and Bobby is like feeling a little kind of way about it. So he like meets this raccoon, and then he like, it kind of is like to spite his dad, and then it grows into like this real connection, like keeps feeding him and all this shit. And in the end, the raccoon, he's been secretly keeping the raccoon and feeding him. So Hank and Peggy, Hank and Peggy find out about this raccoon, and then confrontation. It's like a confrontation, uh-huh. And Bandit like and Ladybird get into a fight, and then they both run off. And so everyone is afraid that everyone's afraid that the, you know, that Bandit gave Ladybird rabbits. Wait, I'm sorry, I'm just like talking out my ass right now.
Rabbits.
All right, I just got real like drowsy for a second. So everyone is afraid that Bandit gave Ladybird rabies. And the funniest part of this, the funniest aspect of this whole episode though, is Dale. They try to get Dale to like trap the raccoon. Do you remember when Dale is like, no matter what, don't open
the street.
And then of course, like he's like, Hank, I'm begging you.
Open the screen. I know what I said. Open the dang screen.
So Hank opens it and immediately they get away. And so Dale thinks he has rabies, and everyone's afraid that Ladybird is off in the woods with rabies. And animal services calls, and they said they're gonna shoot Ladybird if they see her because they saw a dog, you know, acting funny. So Hank has to run out there and get her. And meanwhile, Bobby is going, he's concerned about, you know, Bandit the whole time. And Hank is pissed. He's like, Hank is pissed that Bobby is concerned about this fucking raccoon instead of the dog. And
that whole scene where he's underneath the house, though, is so, because
oh my God.
The fact that he was like, oh my God, like immediately. And yeah, then all happens right after, he's like all scratched up and shit, and the animals ran off. And then he's like, you had one job.
When he like sneaks back in the house while Nancy is with John Redcorn, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, you need a shot, Shug. Because he won't go get his, like the whole thing is he won't go get his shot. In the end, we find out that Bandit didn't even have rabies, but he will not go get his rabies shot. So he just like goes crazy in his mind and runs out to be.
And he eats those shrooms. Yeah, he eats
shrooms. Crazy and it, like catches Bobby and Hank, and he's like about to kill Hank. He is about to kill him.
He said, my plan is to drain you of all your blood and replace it with my rabies blood. And he's like, okay, well, let me do it. Wow, that's smart. He's like, wait a second. And Kale's never cried out in pain in his life.
It's ridiculous. The ending is very touching. We'll just talk about it. So Bobby, like, Bandit and Lady Bird are out there, and Bandit's like coming up. He ends up shooting Bandit to save his dad and Lady Bird. And it's just so fucking touching. It's so touching. And
Bobby loved Bandit.
Yeah, Bobby loved Bandit.
He was really attached. And the fact, and FYI, if y'all don't know, Bobby is an excellent shot. Like, he's kind of like a shooting prodigy.
Yeah.
And, he ended up shooting, and they thought that he was going to shoot Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Because Lady Bird was going to go after Bandit. But then Hank, he's like all relieved. He's like, oh my gosh, thank God you missed. And Bobby goes, no, I didn't miss that. He looked like he was going to bite you. I was like, oh my God.
Shit was sad. Oh, and then the fucking Bandit didn't even have rabies, which I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
They had a funeral for him.
We've seen these episodes so many times, and I saw this one recently, but yesterday it got me. It made me cry a little bit. Okay.
It's a touching episode.
Very. Next episode. Okay, next episode, Peggy's Fanfare.
Is that Peggy's Fanfare? Oh my gosh, is that where they go and they meet Randy Travis?
Yes, you got it. Yes. Peggy gets the Peggy throws in the idea for her church to go to a country music. They finally pick her idea. So her idea is for them to go to this country music festival. And there's like a ton of cameos. I want to go back to To Kill a Lady Bird. To Kill a Lady Bird was season 4, episode 9, and came out in 1999. Fifth and sixth grade for me. You were in middle school, sixth and seventh grade for you.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Peggy's Fanfare. So Peggy's Fanfare is the episode where they go to this country music festival, and the cameos, like there are, this was like, this episode was in 2000. So all the 90s country like stars, they had a bunch of them in here. And I've always loved this episode so much. This is one of my favorite episodes. Peggy kind of like, as we said, Peggy is very into herself. And in this episode, everyone's just kind of sick of it. And Hank tells her about herself. And this episode is another example, like Peggy and Hank disagree a lot. They're very different from each other. They disagree a lot. And even if in the beginning, like one of them fucks the other one over a little bit or does the wrong thing, they always make it back. Like, so like Hank is like agreeing with like the priest, like everyone's just sick of Peggy shit, and he even goes as far to tell her like she's not that great. And so Peggy, she submitted these country song lyrics to this contest, and they told her they didn't want her lyrics. But then when she gets there, she hears a song and realizes that Randy Travis has stolen her lyrics, so she knocks him out. And pretty much everyone is against her. They don't believe her that he's stolen her stuff. So this whole episode is pretty much like everybody being like, Peggy, you ain't shit. But in the end, they realize she is shit. And Hank comes back around. Also, Bobby and Luann, you know, with the brown bag. What is it?
The apple brown Betty.
So the apple brown Betty, Bobby and Luann, they take... They take an Apple Brown Betty to Brooks and Dunn, which shout out to Brooks and Dunn, big Brooks and Dunn fans. They take them that dessert to thank them for some love advice they gave Bobby. And on the way there, they drop it in some horse shit and they pick it up and put it back in and feed it to him. And they end up getting real sick and people think that Peggy poisoned. And Randy Travis's trailer like ends up running into the lake. And again, they think that, don't they think Peggy did that too?
Yeah, they think that Peggy tried to kill Randy Travis because he was asleep in the trailer and she had gotten Boomhauer and I believe Dale, but I know for sure Bill. I feel like she got them to go TP his trailer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And whenever that happened, they ended up accidentally knocking the little the wedge out from underneath the tires, and it was right by the lake. And so the trailer starts to go into the lake, and then Randy Travis is still in the trailer, and then Hank goes and saves Randy Travis. And
yeah,
they're like, I can't believe you're trying to murder Randy Travis.
No one is on Peggy's side in this episode, and it's really funny, and it's a cool episode for like all the country people in it, and gotta love a good Peggy episode.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of shit in there that's so hilarious, and she just so funny without like trying to like that's where you get
Peggy, Peggy and meatballs.
Yep, and she's like, she goes and tells Randy Travis like her whole story behind the song lyrics, and then she hears him telling the audience the exact same story, but of course Hank didn't hear it because he went to go get a beer because she's like driving Hank crazy. And everything about the episode was just, I think it's a really pretty solid episode, honestly. It really gives you like an idea about Peggy too. Like, she's not just like arrogant, like she does have like this kind heart, and though she has like all this confidence to her, there's something behind it too.
Yeah,
there's like reasoning behind it, like she's not just this crazy person.
We kind of see that she had to hype herself up like that too, and had to kind of become overconfident because she was like so insecure as a kid. Yeah, that episode is episode 24, season 4, episode 24, and it came out in 2000.
Damn.
Yeah, 6th and 7th grade for me.
I can't believe that's that long ago.
I know, isn't that crazy? 21 years ago.
You realize that's 21 years. Yeah, it's 21 years ago.
Yeah. Next episode, personal favorite, A Beer Can Named Desire.
Oh shit, this episode, I already know this. This is where they win the Alamo beer can, the Alamo, contest. He goes to New Orleans to the Saints game to have a chance to win $1 million if he throws a football through the Alamo beer can, or he could win potentially $100,000 if he has Don Meredith throw.
Right. Yes. Okay, so this episode was season 4, episode 6, and came out in 1999. And this is probably our most quoted episode. This episode is amazing. Bill Dotrieve. Bill episode. Yeah, Bill is pretty much like a fucking like loser in the night. I guess the best way to put it is he's a fucking loser. And all of a sudden, when he goes back old family home in New Orleans, he's like a hot ticket. And what is it if they
meet? He knows how to speak French or I guess Cajun.
Yeah. And all these women want him.
I love whenever he's like introducing his friends, like the whole Hill family.
Yeah.
And he's like, Hank, Peggy, Bobby, Boomhauer.
And it's like, somebody has to like get with him so they can get the family inheritance or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's like all these three women trying to sleep with him, even though one is his cousin. And
one is his cousin.
Yeah. And that's he has this flamboyant cousin who Bobby is very like struck him by. Yo, man. He has these amazing clothes. And he like teaches Bobby how to be a fancy man. And Hank is having none of it.
A dandy.
Yeah. Hank is having none of it. And the guy is very clearly sexually fluid. He says, I forget like the line.
It's because they were talking about Don Meredith. He's like, oh yeah, I knew him briefly in the past. And like the way he says it, it's like, very suggestive.
Yes. This whole character, suggestive is the perfect word for this character. Very like, and Bobby is just like wearing these little suits, trying to be all fucking fancy and shit. And then Hank, this is a great Hank episode too, because the lesson, like Hank should have just fucking relied on himself, and Hank practices so much for this. And in the end, he listens to everyone else telling him to let Don Meredith throw it. And of course, Don Meredith fucking blows it because he don't want to take his jacket off, because that's how he practiced it. So they each, there's like a thing with that. Like they each practiced it. They each needed to just trust in themselves or whatever. But Hank blows it.
You know what's like, I remember seeing this episode as a kid and thinking Don Meredith is so fucking harsh to Hank, because he goes back. They essentially, once Don Meredith makes the throw, misses, Hank tackles him because he's like, you didn't even take off your fucking jacket, like that shouldn't count. And then later on he confronts them and they're like, okay, let's go to the Superdome again, and he has Hank throw the pass and he makes it, and he's like, well, do you feel better about it? He's like, no. And he's like, you know, Hank goes, I won't ever have a chance like this again. He's like, nope.
No, you won't.
Damn. That's sucks. So hard. Yeah. But it's true. And I feel like it, I don't know. Whenever like you're that low, sometimes that's exactly what you need to hear, but you don't want to hear. And he was like, he was to the point where he's like, fuck, I should have just believed in myself. Because even Peggy was like, yeah, you got this.
Yeah.
He was hyping himself up. And
he let the outside pressure get him.
Yeah, literally everybody.
Yeah.
But that episode is so quotable. That's where the, I need a window seat because this flower is wilted. And I might give room service a jangle. It hasn't done some etouffee.
Fantastic episode. Definitely top five, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love how like excited they were to go to New Orleans. I feel like that's how I get whenever I get to go to New Orleans too.
Definitely. The next episode is called High Anxiety.
Oh my God. Is that where Hank smokes?
Yes.
Because Debbie gets shot?
Yes. So this is a two-part. Yes. This is the second part of the other episode. And this is season 4, episode 14 in 2000. And in this episode, Hank smokes weed.
It's so great.
Yeah,
it's great. His reaction,
oh my God,
is what... It's so amazing.
He just takes off running and he like falls asleep outside and he just... Oh,
he tries to induce vomiting.
He's like, this is a side effect of the marijuana poisoning. He's like, so Hank accidentally smokes some weed. Well, first of all, this little two-parter is a little murder mystery, and it has to do with Buck Strickland and his mistress. Buck Strickland is Hank Hill's boss. He's this very eccentric, gambling, like sex
womanizing
boss. Fantastic character. I love Buck Strickland episodes. He sucks, but like he's such a good character. he's just so like he's like always at the titty bars, and he's his wife, Miss Liz. So he brings his mistress to like this award ceremony where Hank is getting this award. He makes a big scene. Then there's like this, his mistress ends up getting killed and they're trying to figure out who did it. And in this episode, High Anxiety, Hank, he's like at her roommate's house trying to meet with her because she was like, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell everybody we're sleeping together. Like, it was a big mess because the mistress was trying to blackmail people, yada, yada, mm-hmm. yada. So in this episode, Hank, while hanging out with her roommate, waiting for her to come home, he thinks he's smoking a cigarette and he ends up accidentally smoking weed and getting high. And later on, that ends up being his alibi. But like, he's trying to hide. Okay. He is literally accused of a murder, but the part that he's worried about hiding is the weed smoking.
And took a hit. Like,
it's just really funny to go back. So this was in 2000, and just to go back and see, you know, the attitude change of like weed in TV and, you know, mainstream and stuff, and seeing Hank's reaction, and just like, there's nothing worse in this world to Hank than like breaking the law, and like the worst way to break the law is a drug, and just seeing what a big deal it is to him is hilarious.
And yeah, I love his reaction. His like the he literally took like one hit.
Yeah,
and even the guy he was smoking with, he was like, "Dude, you just took one hit." Because he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm inducing vomiting." like, to try to make himself not high.
It's hilarious.
He tries to drive away. He's like, "Oh my god, I'm too high to drive."
It's a great episode, seeing how they place it together. It's like it's everyone has a good part in it. It's just a funny two episodes. Highly recommend those. There's like a dream to see Hank Hill get high. Next episode, Keeping Up with Our Joneses.
Oh man, Keeping Up with Our Joneses. Oh my gosh, is this the one where Bobby gets addicted to smoking?
Yes. Patty's. Yes, you're so good at these. Yes.
Damn, I can't believe this.
This is season 1, episode 10. From 1997.
This is a great fucking episode.
Yeah, it is. This is also considered one of the best episodes. And this one is so good for so many reasons. It's another one that shows the dynamic between all of them.
Yes.
You know what's fun about this episode also is it still has the really funky animation style. Like if you go back and look at this episode and the way they're drawn, it's complete. It is very anime looking.
Mm-hmm.
Very funky. This fucking episode. So yeah, it catch Bobby smoking a cigarette, and then Hank, to punish him, he makes him smoke a carton. And in the meantime, we find out that Hank and Peggy used to be smokers, which is very interesting to me that Hank Hill was once a smoker, because now Hank Hill again is like the epitome of all things like right and cigarette smoking. Yeah. Definitely. Later on, Hank even tells Bobby, there's like a part where he, in another episode later seasons, where he's like, don't smoke. Like, just knowing what we know about Hank and who Hank will like go on to be, the fact that he had this habit is like hilarious. And it was a huge part of him and Peggy's relationship. And so everyone gets addicted to smoking, and it's about them hiding from each other. And it ends with them all fighting over, you know, one cigarette and finding out, and it's fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I love whenever they're locked in the room with that one cigarette and Peggy has it, and Hank is looking at Peggy like, come on, Peg, we'll share this like the olden days before he came along. He looks down at Bobby with like such disgust. It's your little man. Remember 9 months together?
Those were good times. it's so funny to see them like fight for the cigarette, and just Bobby's like in his room secretly. It is a crazy episode. I highly recommend you go back and watch this one. And it's like before the show was the show. So yeah, it kind of followed different rules. And again, the animation is so different. And like the character, that's also before they solidified like the Bobby voice. So it's like a very mm-hmm. early episode, and it is hysterical.
I really like that old animation style too. Like it, they look janky as fuck, to be honest. Yeah. But like
it's crazy.
Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the nostalgia factor or what, yeah, or the fact that it's just so different. But
yeah. Yeah, it's super funny. It's like, I feel like everyone has like a first cigarette story, or like, you know, like a cigarette story from childhood, and it will like remind you of that. And again, just seeing the dynamics of those three characters playing off of each other is very fun. And that episode was, I think I already said 1997.
That's crazy.
Okay. 10th episode, Megalodale.
Megalodale. Okay, I'm going to take a guess and say this is where Dale is hired to do extermination at Megalomart and finds out that, what's his face? Trumpet guy. Chuck Mangione. Yes,
exactly.
Like, Chuck Mangione lives in Megalomart. And everybody's like, Dale, you're fucking crazy.
Yes. Yes. Megalodale is season 7, episode 10, 2003. Yeah.
And I love that episode. It's creepy too.
Yes, it is very creepy. And, you know, I love a good Dale episode. And the one thing about this one is like, you know, Dale is like ridiculed the whole time and he is fucking crazy and stuff. But this is one episode where Dale is like right. And he's on mm-hmm. his shit. Like all his weird knowledge and stuff like comes in, like it comes into play. And he's like, he's like the hero of this episode. And it's very spooky. And this is one of the great like Hank and his friends episodes. Cause admittedly, the ones the ones I ended up picking didn't really highlight them enough. But I think my judge even referred to Hank and his friends as like the Greek chorus of the show, like the friends, which I love that idea that like the friends of the Greek chorus, and like them in the, he said like them drinking the beer in the alley every episode was like a Greek chorus kind of nod. But it's just really fun to see Dale like actually be smart and in control. And I don't know, I would love to look back on the root of this like relationship with Chuck Mangione that they have.
I don't know what it is. Like, this is like the only time ever in my life where Chuck Mangione is featured so much.
Yeah. One marching season in high school, we did do a Chuck Mangione suite. So I played all of his music for like this one marching season. That's my relationship with him. But, he plays a big part because he's like the face of Megalo. And so they suspect that there's like a rodent problem, and Dale suspects it's something different. He thinks that Chuck Mangione is like staying there. No one will believe him. He ends up being right, but nobody else knows he's right in the end but him. Mm-hmm. But he ends up like outsmarting the bad guys in the thing and helping his friends out and saving the day. And then there's the relationship where Dale just wants Hank's approval. And he cares so much about Hank thinking, you know, he's right. And he's like smart. Yeah. And Hank is like his older brother figure, or like his, I don't know if it's his father figure or what, but he really cares about Hank's approval. And
I feel like they all do.
Yes.
Hank like, is definitely like they, like, especially in that episode, oh my gosh, I can't remember. I don't know what it's called, but like, where Boomhauer goes and he's like on the river and he ends up like in the city, like he falls asleep on the river, ends up like in a sewer or something, and they end up committing him.
Yeah.
to the psych ward because they can't understand him, and he looks all crazy, and he's essentially just in like a Speedo. And he calls Dale, and he's like, "Hey, don't tell Hank." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I got this." And then Dale goes in there, and then he calls Bill, and he's like, "Hey, don't tell Hank." Like, they're all like, "No, we got into some shit. This is really embarrassing. Don't tell Hank." And they all like, they all end up in there before they call fucking Hank to save the day.
And we are used to seeing Hank save the day and stuff. And then this one, seeing Dale save the day, it's awesome. Just like, I love to see a good Bill like episode. But this is another one of those episodes that's considered one of the best. And it's so, it's like spooky. It's a little everything. And they're all just so good together because they're all just like such guys. It's a really funny episode. Okay, so while going through this, I realized there were two seasons that a lot of these episodes were from. So I'm assuming these are two of the best ones. So season 4 and season 6, like I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes in my list from season 4 and 3 from season 6. So let me tell you a couple other things that happened in those seasons. Season 4 also included Peggy's skydiving accident, her recovery. Cotton. It included, that episode, that high anxiety episode, the episode that came before that was called Hanky Panky. So season 4, you guys should go watch Hanky Panky and High Anxiety together. And then Meet the Propaniacs. That was also season 4.
Oh man, you know what? You know those Propaniacs shirts that they have like during their performances? I wish they would make that shit. I would definitely wear it. Like, I love the Propaniacs. It makes you sound so lame.
That's what this whole podcast is about. People love this shit.
Propaniacs.
So season 6, which had the returning Japanese and Bobby Goes Nuts, it also had I'm With Cupid, which
I'm your little candy man.
Oh my god, that was so.
Also had Connie's bluegrass career. I see. I didn't even touch on Connie and Con, and so there's just, we're gonna have to have one that's just for the characters, like where we just go. Because this show honestly is just so, it doesn't do it justice. So we're just skimming the surface here, folks. So I feel like that means that season 4 and season 6 were super strong. Okay, and here's two seasons I didn't have any from. And looking back, I realize these are kind of weaker seasons. Season 3, but here's some things that included, that season 3 included. Paddling Peggy. You remember? Bobby Gets Gout. These are not the episode names. These are just what I'm saying. Bobby Got Gout. Yeah. 3. Yeah. Buckley blew up. Okay.
Oh, Buckley's Angel.
Yeah.
Buckley.
And then season 5, some things that happened. Bobby became Buck's caddy, which is a great episode. Luann is re-virginized.
I like that episode. Yeah. That's just
funny. And then Snoop Dogg plays a pimp. You remember when he came? He was a pimp on that episode.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
that episode is called.
Oh my god!
He looked some weird
name. What was his pimp name? His pimp. It was Alabaster Jones.
Yeah, Alabaster Jones. and that episode is called "Oh Yeah." So seasons 3 and 5, the whole show is good, but those seasons I noticed, it's like okay. So, what are some of your like personal favorite episodes? Like,
shit, I feel like,
or even touched, like the types of episodes, like I love a good
I really like whenever things like become deep and you don't really expect it.
Like
whenever Peggy was getting rehabilitated by Cotton.
Cotton
is like the worst fucking human being ever.
Yeah.
And you know, he's basically dishing out all this tough love to get Peggy back on her feet, literally. And the fact that she hates him so much drove her to be able to walk enough to dance on his grave.
Yeah.
And they're both helping each other because she's able to write something for some committee to get him in, like, the veterans cemetery.
Yeah.
The World War II veterans cemetery. And he ends up getting a plot. And it was also funny to me knowing, like, working in physical therapy before,
yeah,
and hearing that one physical therapist, he's like telling Peggy, he is like, we'll have you walking in no time. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, month from now, way too soon.
Was that the black guy, like that black trainer?
Yeah. And he's like, it's funny to hear that because that's exactly what physical therapy is like. It's so slow going. And so people get very, very frustrated with it. And so to see Peggy just like kind of being like, you know what? Fuck that method. I'm going to go with like hate driving me to be stronger. That episode was really great. Like, of course, that dolphin episode where Hank, they go to La Grunta, or Luann ends up getting a job as like a drink girl at La Grunta on the golf course. And then she gets really excited that she has money, and she thanks Hank and Peggy, or she really thanks Hank and ends up buying him a dolphin encounter. And that goes very wrong. So the dolphin encounter goes very wrong. And then La Grunta's trying to make it up to Hank, and Hank's trying to deal with the fact that he got attacked. And like I said before, earlier, he ends up kind of confronting his own demons by confronting Luann's as well, because Luann's getting like verbally sexually assaulted by all these guys on the golf course and stuff. And he stands up for her. And I love like Bobby and Luann together as well.
Yeah.
Like whenever I can't remember, like whenever Bobby's like, oh, they have a surprise. They're going to throw me a surprise birthday party. And they go and they're like walking around the house, and the house is obviously empty, and they're like, hey, and nobody's there. And then towards the end, Bobby's like, wow, they really forgot about my birthday. And Luann's like, don't worry, they have a whole nother month to remember, because it wasn't even his fucking birthday yet.
Yeah,
he just like drew this conclusion in his head. He was like, oh, so you're taking me to get a haircut, Luann? Right. I get it. I'm really getting a surprise.
Yeah, I love Luann and Bobby, because it's just pure comedy usually. It's like not really, it's like, let's just throw this completely light, fluffy shit in here. I love a good Peggy and Bobby. I love when there's some scheme behind Hank's back. I love that type of stuff. Which characters do you think have like the best material? I personally love like Bill and Dale. Dale just
a lot
better as an adult, I think, because a lot goes over your head as a kid. And you're a grown up, and you also, when you're like, hey, I am becoming a Dale, when you're like, Dale
is so crazy.
But Bill, Bill is just like hysterical. The shit they write for me.
Bill is hysterical. And like, you know what's great is the fact that he's so like, he can be the funniest person on the show, but he could also be like the most disturbing and sad person on the show.
There's so like, many, because Bill is very tender, Bill is like very funny and weird, but then also Bill is fucking gross too. So like,
like there was that episode where he like really loses his shit.
Yeah.
And he dresses up like Lenore, his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And he, but that, you know, and that episode really touches a lot on mental health.
Yeah, like, definitely.
A lot. And it's really interesting because, like, that's something that I know Hank, like, he would never, that's something, you know, like, a lot of people have trouble acknowledging mental health as an actual issue and something to be addressed. And I know that's Hank, and he ends up to be the one to snap Bill out of it.
Because
he goes, he dresses up like Hank ends up dressing up like Lenore and telling Bill, like, no, I'm done with you. Like,
we
didn't work. And it was just such a deep and very, very sad, very dark episode. And they even acknowledge it. The fact that it wasn't like, it wasn't something that was just kind of unspoken. Like, Bill literally was like, wow, I really hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you did. And
Bill is really messed up. Like, and they do, while they have their humor, they do actually put in like, oh, he has these reasons. Like, no, Bill is actually fucked up. But yeah, it gets dark and gross. Like that Megalo Dale episode, there's the, you remember when he's like trying to take the bra off of the mannequin and then like Boomhauer just walks by and flicks it off with like, he says like, let them thing breathe or something like that. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Definitely Bobby and Peggy. That Peggy
Bobby and Peggy have great like comedy
is so good, because the comedy is just her like being herself.
Yeah.
They're all kind of a different type of humor too. There's just so many different things about this show, like so many different styles and things blended. And we didn't get that much into it, but I think as the seasons go on and we get more into like Khan and stuff, we can also touch on like, they do a lot with like race and too, without doing a lot. I have, so like my last little thing, my last little question is, if you could make another season of King of the Hill, oh wait, you haven't finished the show, so it doesn't really, that question doesn't count. Never mind. But
what was the question? Oh my god. If
you
could
make another season, like what would you want to see? But
you know, I haven't finished it.
Yeah. Like if you like, what would you want to see today? Yeah, you could still answer that.
I haven't finished it, so I don't know if this is even a thing, but I would love to see Bobby older.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like,
yeah, same.
Like either in like older high school or college.
Yeah, I'd love to see him in college. Love to see him kind of get into like the Black Lives Matter stuff, like the become more aware of like, I would love to see how they address like that movement in King of the Hill, like being in Texas and stuff, being in the South. And, I would love to see Bobby like go full woke, or like, you know, I'd like to see them explore.
And it would be really interesting, because I feel like Peggy would be all for it. Yeah. And she would act like she was that way the entire time.
She'd be like,
oh yeah, I've been this way forever. And that's where you got it from.
Hank would like call it out. Yep.
Yeah. And he'd be like, no.
And it would be really interesting to see all that. It would be with the later
season,
a lot more happens with Luann. So like, we will regroup after we finish this show to do another. So guys, I've pretty much just covered seasons 1 through 7 during this. So Sasha's going to finish the show at some point, and we're going to do the later like half of the show, because a lot of cool stuff happens there too. But yeah, man, what a show. What a show.
I think that's so crazy that we've talked about it for so long, like literally right now. And we've only touched on seasons 1 through 7.
Yeah.
Honestly, and just
we could talk more. I'm holding back, and I'm holding you back too, because even on some of these, I'm like, all right, we're talking too long about this, because we got to fit everything. We haven't even touched. I touched on like 1 or 2 episodes per season, and there's like 24 episodes a season. You know what I mean? There's like 20, there's so many, 259 episodes, and we could go through them all. We could start a King of the Hill podcast, which now that I'm thinking about it, sounds like a good idea. Stay tuned, y'all.
It does. You know, and you haven't seen it, even the first episode, I feel like that first episode, the pilot, is just amazing. It's so perfect. I feel like it really like it exemplifies like what it's really like to live here.
Yeah,
like the people's attitudes and stuff like that. And oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about where Peggy teaches sex ed.
Yeah, there's so much.
But peace.
Oh my god. So I'm gonna bring this to an end because again, there's so much more to talk about, and I'm trying to keep these episodes long enough for y'all to actually pay attention. But we will begin with King of the Hill another time. Sasha, thanks so much. It's really cool. Like you are just like an encyclopedia of this show too. It's like every episode you could just completely recall like everything that happens within all that, even like the small parts.
I think that shows you like how much this show we fucking watch. This is The Simpsons, man.
Yeah, these are like the shows that shaped us. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember falling asleep to this show every night.
Yeah.
Like every night. I'd be like, it would come on same time every night. And I'm like, okay. And you know, it's real crazy is like I remember thinking that about The Simpsons too. And knowing exactly what episode it was.
Yeah.
Literally like a second or two into the show.
Yeah.
And definitely. I remember telling my mom about an episode because like, I can't remember why, but I recalled the episode immediately.
Yeah.
Like once the show started and I was like, oh, this is the episode where this happens. And my mom was like, oh my God, how do you know that?
Yeah. First time I did acid, I watched this show was like my little home base. Like, I watched.
Are you for real?
Yeah, it was like, my little like when you like trip, you have like your grounding mechanisms or you're like, the first time I did acid was by myself, and it was like mostly TV watching, and this was like one of the shows I watched. But yeah, this is just my happy place, and I just love that like now in my relationship too, like we watch the show a lot where it's like we don't know what else to put on. All right, King of the Hill. So I just this has been amazing. Parting thought
on King of the Hill. I'm just excited that I got to be on this podcast with you. This is the perfect podcast.
Got a lot more coming, non-King of the Hill related too. Thanks so much, Sasha, for helping me out.
Hey man, thank you. I'm excited to be on here. I feel so famous.
You are famous. I love you, friend.
I love you too, friend. I miss you.
Miss you too.
I can't wait to come up and visit you in New York.
Yeah, and then we'll watch more episodes and we'll do episodes in person.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Real Good. This is episode 8. So we're almost to the end of my season, my first season. I know I took a long break, but I am back at it. It wasn't that long. It was a summer break. I gotta go easy on myself, but I took my little summer break and now I'm back at it, and this is a great episode to start recording again. Thank you guys, tune in next time.